Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. What a day.
It's wonderful.
God is great.
And that I still, it left an imprint that BJ beat out 500 other doctors.
Yes.
So if you have any problem, BJ will check you out. Not really. I'm very proud. Glory to God.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So we are looking, taking a bird's eye view of after the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples. It really is almost a mind-blowing thing to think that he was 40 days, and we don't have that much that many details about his time with the disciples. And then he said he ascended in the clouds, and 10 days later he poured out the Holy Spirit. So it was 50 days since the resurrection. But one of the major things that he does he does what we call the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in Matthew 28, verse 18 onward, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority. Some translations.
All.
And it's important theologically to understand the all. It's not a little, not 70%, not 95%, and 5% is left out. This is 100% all authority. Some translations have slightly mistranslated, and they will say all power, which is great, but it makes a difference for us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
This means he really declares all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So what happened at Calvary was that until then, from the incident in the garden where Adam and Eve were cheated out by the devil, he takes some of the authority of God. He steals basically the authority given to the original creation and from Adam and Eve. And until Jesus at Calvary by taking all the curses and sins and pains and sicknesses, but Jesus takes back all authority. Now, any authority that's there, it's in Jesus, all authority. And it is important for us to understand that the devil may have his measure of power, but he has no authority. And so even, you know, one of the pictures I remember many years ago, seeing when we lived in Florida, and what was the main high, I forget, federal one or whichever,
A1A.
A1A, yes.
A1A.
And there was a whole army of trucks stopped in the traffic. And there was a young lady in a police uniform, and she had her hand up, and all the truckers.
And she was little. She was really little. She was
little.
A really diminutive woman. But she had her police uniform on.
Yeah, that made the difference. They better listen to her, because behind her was the whole police force of Florida backing her up. So she had, that's authority. She could stop any truck and give them a ticket if they wanted to. But Jesus has all authority. This is part of what we call the Great Commission. All authority is given unto me, heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, because he has authority. Now he is commissioning, and in fact, it's understood that we have authority because he's imparting some of their authority in us. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you. Say, I am with you. So that's another significant revelation. We need to get it in us that the Lord is among us, with us. One of the certificates we gave was to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, wave your hand. He's named after one of the names of the Lord. Emmanuel is God with us. So where God has said, I'm commissioning you, go into all the world, preach and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and teach them, disciple them, and I'll be with you always. That's the extra, that awesome, that we often forget that the Lord is with us from now on. And it's to every believer this promise, go into all the world, proclaim good news.
And Pastor Mahesh, the first comment that you made, the fact that we may wonder why the gospel accounts don't say much in specifics about either the crucifixion moment itself or the appearing by Jesus in a physical, indestructible body after the resurrection for 40 days to over 500 people, including all of his inner circles of leadership who gave us the eyewitness account. And we may wonder why they didn't write that stuff down. And I have a suggestion. Is because so many saw and knew, and it activated the church with such a specific clarity of focus. They knew because they saw him that everything he had said was true, and they went about doing the stuff. And then it was a few years later, they just came back to reaffirm that he had done, according to the scriptures, everything that Israel's Messiah was to have done. But indeed, it was his appearing in the resurrection for those 40 days that gave the impetus to this collective of believers, these individuals from every walk of life that then went about with a different kingdom, ultimately challenging and overthrowing the greatest then world kingdom, the Roman Empire. This is absolutely stunning. And it makes me think your comments of when Jesus, prior to his crucifixion, of course, when he was freshly anointed as a mortal man with the Holy Spirit and his testing in the wilderness, the devil sort of like tries to get at him personally, get at him emotionally, get at him relationally, and then finally says, look, see all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, they're mine. I'll give these to you if you'll just make me your leader. And Jesus said, worship God and him alone. And it says, and the tempter left him until an opportune time. But we see there the beginning of this battle, power against power, and Jesus moving towards the ultimate smackdown, which was obviously Calvary, where he spoiled principalities and powers, where he ended forever the mortality of sin and death in the human race, where he brought all of creation back in to the great renewal project of God. And then he had some business to do in the spirit realm, apparently, and then he came back in a physical body, and they all saw him for 40 days. Stunning, stunning stuff. And this is the power and the vision, the commission on which we each now carry this vision. And remember, Jesus said to his disciples, you believe because you've seen me, but more blessed are the ones who will believe who haven't seen this. So we believe.
Amen.
Say, we believe.
We believe.
And we will see. Amen.
It is essential, if you can, to get a living revelation that when Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me It should get into your innermost being. It's not just, there's a difference between knowledge and revelation in the spiritual principles of things. There is a way in which you can make a nice note saying one of the covenant names of God is Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's great. You could write a note saying Jehovah Rapha means I am the Lord that heals thee. Or have an experience where your child is desperately sick and then prayer is made for your child and you literally see from death to life your child is healed. And I'll tell you, it gets into your spinal column and you know that you know that you know the Lord is our healer.
And many of you know that our first child, Ben, our first son, Ben, was born with a critical life-threatening condition that he had less than 3% a chance of surviving and being normal. And then after he finally was released from the hospital after multiple surgeries, etc., he had a death sentence hanging over him that said his life would end by the time he was 10. And we are happy to say that today we are celebrating Ben Chavda's 40th birthday. And he is strong and proud and fulfilling his dream of filmmaking in Hollywood. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Rapha.
The Lord is a healer. So get that into your innermost being that you have authority. And this begins with the Lord setting aside his disciples. And you read, I mean, there is a pattern. We see the Great Commission and we say, well, this is where it began. No, it begins in, you find in Luke chapter 9, Jesus, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Anyway, here he sets aside the 12 disciples. And he gives them authority over demonic oppressions. So realize, part of the commission, it is not, I used to be in Campus Crusade many, many moons ago in 72, 73. And then I was called to the pastorate in 74. But I would, you know, we were supposed to knock on houses. And say, do you know the four spiritual laws and things like that?
I remember, but, and those little cards. The stuff on it.
But it's different from saying, you got anyone sick in your house?
Amen, Lord.
Oh, you got anyone oppressed? We're going to cast them out. They don't need counseling. They need deliverance.
Yeah.
Wham. And then, whether it's drug addiction, we know we need drug addiction eventually, like any kind of addiction, can become a demonic oppression. Mm-hmm. And there is no amount of counseling or pills. I'm not against medication. But when it becomes a demonic activity, then you just have to take authority over the demonic power and say, get out of here. This is not your house. So, and that authority God has put over his disciples. When the uniqueness of Jesus' ministry is, until then, the Bible doesn't mention too much, doesn't talk too much. Rarely does it talk about the oppressions and demonic activity. When Jesus comes, it is time to set the captives free completely.
Amen.
And so he's the moment he starts his ministry, he takes authority over demonic activity. So recognize that we believers, each of you, a commission as you, may you grow and may you grow in the truth and may you be discipled to know how to take authority, what demonic things are, how they sometimes ongoing histories of miscarriages or ongoing history of mental oppression. It could be a family line curse. It could be a demon oppressing the family. So we are the only ones. I mean, it's not, hey, call the EMT and call. You call the true Ghostbusters, believers in Jesus Christ,
who
are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We did.
I'm tempted. We should have everybody look at each other and say, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Go ahead, let's do it. Look at your neighbor. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Yes. Anyway.
You know, Mahesh, I'm remembering. Sorry, this is a rabbit, but this is a funny one. Pastor Mahesh and our good friend Jim Croft were the original Lone Ranger and Tonto. Forgive me for saying it that way. But
Ghostbusters.
Of Ghostbusters in West Texas during the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic renewal. And they were the only ones in town and for a couple of hundred miles, you know, region that understood all authority has been given to us. Go therefore, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And so people would call them regularly. They were like the EMT, the deliverance EMT unit. And they would, you know, ride out and pray for people. Well, they, you know, they were young whippersnappers and they'd read in the Bible when Jesus, you know, cast the demons out of the Gadarene, he sent them into a herd of pigs. Well, there happened to be a goat farmer on the edge of Lubbock that lived on the edge of town, and he had this big pasture that was filled with a whole herd of goats. So these two young, you know, eager disciples would cast demons out of all kinds of demons out of people from all walks of life, and every time they'd say, go to the goats. We send you to the goats up on 149th Street or whatever it was up there in Lubbock. And they went around doing this, you know, for months and a couple of years. And one day they got a telephone call from a man who lived up in that area to come and pray for him. And so they went to the address, and lo and behold, the man lived in a trailer house.
And we had to cross the field.
In the middle of the field where the goats were. So they went through the gate and started across the field and were headed towards the trailer, and all of a sudden they realized there were hundreds of little beady eyes with little horns looking at them. And it was like all of those demons that they had been sending up there for however long suddenly said, that's the man that put us in these stinky bodies. And the goats headed vroom, 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 towards them. And they had to run, jump the fence, and escape.
Then we learned. After that, we adjusted. We stopped sending them to the goats. Instead, we said, go where Jesus tells you to go. So, but there would be some, you know, we were sent to clean houses. There would be all kinds of weird things happen that I don't want to freak you out. And they would call us. And we would find the cause behind that. But usually, I mean, once we would pray through the house, demonic activity stopped. But you have to, when you get into a new house or apartment, just a side note, bless it and command any shadows to go. From previous occupants who may have been oppressed. Just a side note. But realize the main thing is we saw what, when the Bible says don't do this, don't do that. Like playing with the Ouija boards, for example, brought all kinds of dark shadows into people's homes. So, and over them, that when you do certain activities, you open the door for demonic oppression, especially vulnerable teenagers, things like that. You want to be very careful. Just stay in biblical lines and you'll be fine. But any kind of involvement with the occult or witchcraft, all of that, it can really create trouble mentally, physically, all kinds of stuff. So, but the point I want to make here is that as with the package deal, as Jesus commissions, and that great commission, Matthew, in Matthew 28 or Mark 16, it includes authority over demonic activity and the authority to pray for the sick. In Matthew, in Luke chapter 10, we looked at Luke 9, now Luke 10, it's the same things. As his disciple given authority to the 12, then it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money, bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it'll return to you and remain in the house. And it goes later on, the disciples recognize, Lord, even the demons obey us as we say, go there, or get out of this area. Verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy. Say joy.
Joy.
So it is a delight to be able to obey the Lord in the commission. And saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So this is, it's the commission comes with the authority and the power. The authority to take care of demonic activity and to give you confidence that you can pray for the sick. I'm not against, praise God, for all the medical care we can get and all the doctors, but the Lord did, that was part of the commission, was the grace to pray for people who are sick, and the Lord would do mighty things. So,
I love what Dr. Eugene Peterson has, the way that he has put this in language in Matthew's gospel, in the Message Bible. And when he sends out the 12, he says, don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood and tell them the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchables, kick out the demons.
Yay.
You've been treated generously, live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. Amen.
Amen. And we look at Mark 16 again. There are different little bit different angles at which the Great Commission comes. But we are focusing right now on what Jesus did in between the resurrection and Pentecost. And part of the essential things that we wanted to share about the commission today. And we want to, as the graduates of the Glory Summit, we want to lay hands on them and commission them. So this is, but it's good for us to get perspective of the commission. And all of us, were the major job descriptions for the Lord's church, T.L. Osborne, I don't know how many of you knew about him. He was a great, almost as effective as Dr. Billy Graham was in America and Europe, T.L. Osborne was to the third world nations. They knew more about Dr. Osborne than knew about Billy Graham. And there were a couple of times where his ministry, he would, if he was not well, he would ask me to go. And I took his place in Costa Rica, where 200 churches had arranged for a meeting, but he couldn't go. So his ministry phoned and said, could Brother Mahesh go? But anyway, he said basically that one of the primary job descriptions for believers is that part of the the duty, however, whatever you do, whether you are helping do music in a church, but mm-hmm. the job, one of the major duties of believing church members or believers is to help bring evangelism to the whole world. So that's the big assignment that we all have, one way or the other. Even if this way, the people who help us in worship, or those who work, help give assistance in the sound system, however you do, but you are helping a whole reach out to the nations. We have this ministry has, we did television programs that were translated into Arabic, and the whole of the Arab lands, when we went to Palestine, in a sense, we went to Bethlehem, several people recognized us, Arab people. So we watch you all the time.
The mayor and the mayor's secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the city of Bethlehem at the time. Yeah.
So, and then they had our programs broadcast in Iran.
Yeah.
Some of them were translated into, what's the Iranian language?
Farsi?
Farsi, that's right. You know, side note, my father knew Farsi. And he read Farsi poetry. He loved Persian language. Anyway, all right. So I felt like I need to read Mark 16.
Amen,
it was
Lord.
One of my favorites. Matthew 28 is the same. But this one is more clear. When Jesus, these are words in red, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's part of, again, part of the commission is not just, hey, do you know the four spiritual laws? I'm not denigrating. I used to be a member of Campus Crusade, but there are more things. You are responsible to bless a house. You go and cast out evil spirits if they are there. And so, and that no harm will come you, that
Amen.
You can take up serpents and scorpions, and by no means can they harm you. And that's, I like that. That commission is coming to us. However, we can cooperate. We have to use every means we have. We broadcast. Now it's so easy that we can get on the World Wide Web and people can, we have letters and communication from all over the world that people are listening and watching to us, so that we use every factor, however you can help the house of God to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, and every family on earth have a chance to get salvation.
I'm thinking of a story that you mentioned during the Glory Force of a dear friend of ours that this church has had an opportunity to provide support and literal transportation for, that is so an illustration of the Great Commission, and that is Cass Majera, who had experienced the worst possible attack that a young 11, 12-year-old girl could experience, and it had completely broken her. She ended up being admitted intermittently to psychiatric units, so on and so forth, and her mother and father were hosting a big conference in a major hotel in Chicago, and had asked Pastor Mahesh to come and be the principal speaker. And during that conference, from time to time, Cass would be able to come from the hospital to spend some time with her family. And she happened to be there with them that weekend, but she was in the hotel room, and she attempted one of the many, many times to end her life by throwing herself off of the top of the building. Well, they caught her beforehand. So the EMT guys were there, and they were taking her back to the hospital. And her mother was in the conference with all of these people, with Pastor Mahesh there in the ballroom of the hotel. And as they were exiting, Cass just said, you know, can I say something to my mom before I go? And so they said, yeah, okay. So they, you know, stood at the door. They let her walk in. And the moment she entered the back of the ballroom, Pastor Mahesh was ministering, and he had a word. He didn't know, by the way, the scenario in the family at that time. But you had a word, and you said,
there's someone here who wants to commit suicide.
A young girl, you said.
Young girl, yeah. And miraculously, she came up to get prayer.
It was the first time that she had allowed a male person to put physical contact on her body. And she came with her mother. She received prayer. And
she got delivered.
Say, all authority. All authority. I've given you authority over all demons, over all evil spirits. Praise the Lord. Well, many of you know, because Cass has also given her testimony to this congregation, but today Cass is a major missional leader in some of the unreached territories of China. And one of the things that we were able to do as a congregation is provide her with a really cool motorbike that is able to traverse all of the territories that she needs to do. But she is a major missionary now. She was completely healed, delivered, went on to be a presidential scholar, and has ended up in China fulfilling the Great Commission with signs, wonders, and miracles following it.
Yeah, and overseas, several million members of the churches and the underground churches there, and very proud of what you just don't realize how awesome the call of God is over people's lives, and yet the devil attacks them. Here was a girl just locked away in a mental institution, and God delivered her, called her to help thousands now in China and multiple millions. She kind of puts the programs together. It's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
And so one of the things of the anointing and the commission is Jesus was anointed to set the captives free. And he says in John, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Say, as God sent Jesus.
As God sent Jesus.
He is sending me.
He is sending me.
And then the other word he says in the Gospel of John is,
amen.
The works I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall you do. I mean,
amen.
That's a high standard.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus is cheering us on, saying, go for it, because I am with you. Say, he is with me.
He is with me.
Praise God.
Amen.
So what we're going to do is, if you don't mind, we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to let the those who graduated from the Glory Summit, we want to commission them. Just lay hands on them and bless them. Amen? So, hallelujah. And you can just stretch your hand out towards them. Don't get tired. If your hand gets tired, fine, but you can put them down. We want to bless them as we commission these today. It's good.
It's good.
I was looking at my watch.
Anoint them with oil and send them out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Say all. Hallelujah, Lord.
So receive today, all of you, in the year of our Lord, 2019, we still need greater authority than we have ever had to break the shadows of darkness over our whole nation. And we are so glad that as our brother gave testimony of the first steps to break the power of segregation, that it was a demonic stronghold, and that the Lord allowed us to break eventually by these efforts and then the prayers of the saints. These strongholds were broken, and may they continue to be broken.
Amen.
But these are demonic shadows.
Yeah.
Also, we tried politics, but above all, prayer. Let's break the yokes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. And so as we anoint and bless in this time of worship, the Glory Force graduates, we also proclaim over each of them and over you the event of the coming of the Spirit. We know that when Jesus came out of his testing in the wilderness, he came out in the power of the Spirit. And after his resurrection, he ate with and talked with and walked with and showed himself to over 500 people. That truly, everything written about him in Scripture had been fulfilled up to his coming again. And he told all of his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare your eternal dwelling. Until I come, advance. Until I come, stand strong. Until I come, preach this good news. And I'm not leaving you alone. You're not orphans. I myself will be in and with you." And then on that glorious day, they were all together in one place. And there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, the breath of God in breathing his earthly body to raise it up and animate it member by member to show forth the glories of the Son and do even greater works. And divided, individual, unique flames of fire rested on each one. So, Lord, we pray.
Thank you.
We recognize and we say, come, Holy Spirit, descend on us afresh and let the oil that is on our King, the apostle of our faith, our high priest, let the oil that is on Jesus flow down on us today. Quicken, enliven, awaken the gifts you have put within. Anoint us with power for signs, wonders, miracles. Fill our mouth with your living word. Here we are, Lord. Freely we volunteer in the day of your power. We say, here am I, Lord Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Send me.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.